So the call is being recorded. Let me at least acknowledge the folks that are on the phone already. We've got Mikey O'Connor, Lynn Gudendorf, Jonathan Frakes, and Michael Pelage. A few folks have sent their regrets, and that includes Eric Broner-Williams, Steve Crocker, John McElwain. And I haven't heard from Pam, so I would anticipate that she would be with us since she's been on all the, you know, all the recent calls. I can see Mikey and Mike Pelage are now in Adobe.
Craig, did either John, Pam, or Jonathan provide the rewording for the 3-1?
You know, I had an exchange yesterday with John, and he said he was going to provide it to the list yesterday, but I did not see it come through.
Jonathan, you're on that little subgroup. Have you agreed with the final text or write up there?
You know, I'm still going through John's final text, so I may be part of the holdup on that. I will look at that today.
Do me a favor. Since we really don't have that much stuff, we can make this a 5-minute call. Would you have any problems sending what you have now just to kind of let the whole group go through it, or... Or would you prefer just to look at it before you? I mean, as I said, we can keep this call real quick.
I didn't have any material changes to what John is submitting. Honestly, I think it stands as what he's sending in. So I'll support what he sends in.
Okay, but he hasn't sent anything. So what I'm saying is, could you perhaps take that document and forward to Craig so we could throw it up on Adobe and just take a quick look at it real quick?
Well, I'll have to dig it up. I mean, it may take me 5 minutes here. Just I'm on the road and not at my usual desktop. So let me try to do that, and I'll
put it this way. If it's too much of an inconvenience, as I said, we could just keep today's call real quick. Craig, have we started the recording yet?
We have started the recording. I just got a message from Paul Smosher that he was confused about whether we were going to have a call or not, and he's going to dial in a moment.
I actually just dialed in.
Oh, hi, Paul.
How are you guys?
Okay. So, recording started. Have you done the formal roll call yet, Craig?
I have, and I'll do it again for the benefit of for those that just got on. So on the phone, we've got Mikey O'Connor, Lynn Gudendorf, Jonathan Frakes, Michael Pelage, and Paul Smosher, and obviously myself, and then again the regrets from Steve Crocker, Eric Broner-Williams, and John McElwain.
Okay, and just...
Craig, Pam's DeCicio joined.
Oh, hi, Pam.
Hi.
Welcome.
All right, there we go. We got a nice little, we got our little stalwart group here. So what I'd like to do is we'll do it the statement of interest, the memorial announcement in Mr. Eric Broner-Williams' absence today. I'd like to thank everybody for, again, updating and amending their statement of interests. If there's been any material changes by anyone, if they could please acknowledge it now. And Pam, I did see your email that you're just having your internal people review that right now. So if there's anyone else... Okay, I'll take that as a no, and we'll continue to move forward.
Michael?
Yes?
This is Jonathan. I think I had stated on one of the earlier recordings that I was no longer with Minds and Machines. I left them about, sometime first quarter of 2010, and I've been participating in an individual capacity. I think I updated that sometime around the Brussels meeting. Verbally, but I don't know if I apparently didn't update my statement of interest. So I've been participating as an individual, since just before the Brussels meeting.
Okay, and put it this way. Thanks for sharing that with the group. But that, yes, that's something that I think you and I discussed at Brussels. So yes, I'm well aware of that. But thanks again for sharing that with the group.
Sure.
And if you did you just post? I mean, if you could just perhaps again, just going through one of the points that Mikey and I were just exchanging on the list about how he didn't. He may have raised some things on the call as opposed to on the email list. If you could perhaps just drop that in an email to the list just so that it would make, shall we say, documentation a little easier as opposed to going through hours of phone recordings.
Wait, Mike, was that directed at me?
Yeah. So what you just said there, as far as your statement of interest no longer being with Minds Machines, did you update that this morning?
I sent an updated. Statement of interest.
Okay,
right.
And it was this. Okay, so no, thank you for that. That was when we were exchanging emails this morning. I didn't read your updated statement of interest, but
no problem at all. Pam, you joined the call. Hi.
Hi.
Just before you joined, Mike had asked me to forward along my thoughts or comments on the HS-TLD 3.1 insert of ours.
Yep.
I don't have any. I think John summarized it very well in his document, and unless you have any additional feedback from that.
No, I'm good.
So Mike,
Pam, would you be Jonathan's on the road right now. Would you be able to forward that perhaps to the list or Craig so that we could throw it up on Adobe and take a look at it real quick and perhaps, just move forward with that?
Absolutely.
Oh, I have it, Mike. I can do it.
I've got it right here. You want me to just go ahead and hit forward?
How about you have a race? First come, first serve. We could have an auction with the proceeds to go towards
drink.
Come on, I'm allowed to joke and have some fun, Craig.
That's right.
Exactly. It's all in good fun until the government's come in. Okay, so both of you are sending that to Craig. Basically what we have here, I think, are the executive summary that I tried to draft, that I tried to make as agnostic as possible. If perhaps we could start with, as far as the agenda, let's start with the executive summary. We then could go to the text that Craig had proposed as far as changing the wording in Section 6 to address some of the concerns that have been raised by Mikey and others, and then we can get to the Section 3 text that John, Pam, and Jonathan have worked on. So those are the three things that I would like to touch upon, and then perhaps if we could get through those rather quickly, we could just discuss, perhaps again what we can do as far as wrapping up our work and how we go about doing that in a perhaps constructive manner. So, Craig, do you want to throw up is this the stuff that you had provided some edits to correct my typos?
No, this is what you originally provided to the group.
Do you want to throw up your version where you were making some of the typographical, where you were correcting some of my typos? You could do that, and we could already start with a cleaner version.
Yeah, give me just 1 second. I'm just going to put up the red line because that's just that's what's easiest to do right now.
Sorry for my ignorance, but where is he putting it up?
On the Adobe Connect. I'm sorry, Pam. If you check the link, for purposes of trying to move through the text a little more prudently, we're using Adobe Connect. The link to that should be in the email that Craig sent yesterday, as well as one that he just resent.
I see it. Thank you. Another stupid question. Should I just enter as a guest? I don't have a log. right?
No, Henner's a guest.
Okay.
And the changes that I made to Michael's first draft are really they're it's typographical or just some word choices. I didn't change the intent or what message was Michael was trying to get out with his first draft. So
I appreciate some of the wordsmithing. Again, this was done a little on the early side, as Jonathan knows, when him and I were exchanging emails. What I was trying to do here is just sort of provide some of the challenges that we as a group have, I would say, faced, and some of the things we've discussed. I would hope that this is as agnostic and non-controversial as possible. But I will leave it to the group to see whether there's any proposed changes or edits on how to enhance it and make it a more a representative document of what we believe as a group. So I will. It's only one page. I'll give everyone perhaps a minute or two to read it, and then we could plow forward.
I see your hand is up, Mikey. So. In a moment, we'll give you the mic.
Well, actually, it's just a text thing. Craig, could you set that thing up so we can scroll it ourselves rather than you having to scroll it for us? There's a little button you, as the godlike presenter, can push that let us.
Oh, really?
Roll up and down. Should be. I don't know the new Adobe well enough to tell you where it is, but it's somewhere. Close to the edge of that thing.
So now the whole thing is basically displayed. I don't know how to use that feature. I'm sorry. I'll figure that out before the next call. But I've just shrunk the text a little bit, so the whole thing is displayed.
Okay. Thanks, Greg.
Necessity, mother of invention.
Hey, Mikey. You, I see your hand is up again. Do you want to go ahead and...
You want to kick us off, Mikey?
Sure. This is Mikey. A couple of thoughts. One, I think this is fine if, the question that I raised on the last call is whether we're trying to document the work we did or present recommendations, and if our goal is to document what we did and maybe offer some suggestions for future generations, then I think this is a good platform on which to do that. If we're thinking that we're going to actually present recommendations, then my thought would be maybe wait until we're done writing the report and then circle back around to this executive summary and insert those somewhere.
And to address your that's kind of where what I did was I was assuming I began with the negative assumption that we would have no consensus and that this may just be a documentation gathering exercise. So that is why I started with the text that you see there. Putting on my more opportunistic happy hat, if we are able to reach some type of consensus or recommendation. I don't know how that is possible, but if it is, I actually, did you there was a little parenthetical at the bottom. Is that still scrolling down there? Oh, there we go. Closing paragraph or paragraphs based upon any consensus point or points that can be reached in the group. So, again, that was how I tried to write this. So I agree. If there is any consensus or particular recommendations, we would then come back and perhaps enhance or revise the executive summary. But I just wanted to just start by, putting some text down for perhaps a placeholder. So that hopefully that addresses your concerns, Mikey.
Yeah.
All right. Lynn?
Yes. And, I had committed to helping you with the executive summary, and I didn't, Michael. So thank you for all the work on this. And I'm satisfied with the approach taken on it.
Okay. Paul, as one of the people that has put forth one of the segments, I think, in what, Section 6, does this, again, the executive summary do a fair job of representing the viewpoints and work of the group?
Yeah, I think it does. The only, and Craig, if I could ask you to scroll up a little toward the top. Okay, good. The only thing I would probably want to clarify is in the second paragraph, where we're starting on one end of the spectrum with the mandatory verification program. I don't know if we, although we talked a lot about financial service GTLDs, I think we talked about it originally in a broader context and used financial services TLDs as an example of a kind of TLD that might require more trust. But we also talked about things like, potentially healthcare and some other industries. So, I'm a little sensitive to just saying the only reason we talked about that idea was for financial services. I think, as I recall the conversations, we had some conversation about generally a group of TLDs that might require more trust, of which financial was an example.
And put it this way, Paul, I take that as a friendly amendment. And I would agree with that, and in fact that same approach is what I've incorporated into the report card. So that's I consider that a friendly amendment and consistent with what I believe has been the approach. So would you perhaps as far as wordsmithing that?
I'll take care of that, Michael.
What is it?
I'll take care of that. I got the idea.
You got the idea? Thank you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so Mikey, Lynn, Jonathan. On mute, perhaps, while you're on the road? Or do we lose him?
No, I'm muted, and my screensaver came on my phone, so I had to do, so I have no comments. Was that worth the wait?
Okay, so can we take no comments as your approval, or will you come back at a later date? So hopefully you
no,
have...
No, call it approval. Call
okay,
it approval.
Thank you. Sorry if I'm a little hypersensitive, but anyway. Okay, next, Pam, you're up.
Definitely my approval.
Okay, excellent. So what we have now
Mike, we also have Jeff Schmidt on the line, too.
Ah, Jeff. Thank you for joining. Jeff, are you aware that we're in Adobe right now looking at the proposed text?
Yeah, I'm there, and this is fine with me. I think this is a fair representation of where we are, so I have no objections.
Excellent. Fair is where I'm always trying to be. Okay, so we now have some text. Again, we may come back based upon final recommendations and add a paragraph or two, but we have some placeholder text. So thank you for that. Craig, do you want to just at this time discuss your proposed language, or would you like to throw it up on Adobe so that people could actually see the original text versus the proposed change text for Section 6.
Yeah, let me see if I... Yeah, give me 1 second.
While you're looking that up, while you're doing that, Paul, you may have seen one of the exchanges that I had with Steve Crocker this morning regarding his concerns of how the work may link up to specific goals and objectives. Then there was some follow-up with Mikey where I was referencing the original goal and problem statement of the group. What I was thinking about, and I just put it out there for consideration, is would you go back and consider supplementing your Section 6 to perhaps trying to address some of the original problem statements of how your proposal addresses that? Would you consider that helpful or something you'd be able to do?
I'd certainly take a look at it, but... two things in terms of full disclosure. I haven't seen the email exchange you did this morning. I've been tied up. And to the extent that Section 6 exists, it is the work of others, so I don't want to take credit for it. But I will certainly go to Section 6, look at it, and attempt to do that.
Or is it Section 7, the range of options? Section
yeah,
7.
So it's Section 7 now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So Craig, perhaps you could take the floor and just explain the change in text and how that potentially may address some of the concerns here.
Sure. And what's before us is potentially changing the way we approach Section 7, which currently is the range of options considered by the group, given the varying degrees of opinions about where we are and what we've done and what we need to do. I thought what might be a better approach is to call this range of positions held by the group. That way, folks who are on, have different views of the status of the group will have an opportunity to put forth their position, kind of very much similar to including a minority statement in a report. You know, there really are only 7 or 8 active folks, and it seems like a few folks share one view and a few folks share another, and yet there's even a third that are shared by a couple of participants. So I just thought it might be better to talk about positions rather than options. And within the realm of positions also gives those particular viewpoint holders an opportunity to talk about recommendations. So that was my thinking. It also really kind of captures a comment that Mikey made on last week's call about, is this a documentation effort at this point or is it a recommendation effort? And I think the answer is that it's probably both, but that the documentation effort might actually be more important at this point than a recommendation given the range of views within the group. So, it seems like Mikey and a few are in one particular, have one particular mindset. I am putting, words in other people's mouths, but I think Paul Smosher is probably in a little bit of a different area, and I think Michael Pelage is in a third area. And I think each of those three areas have folks that would say that's where they are as well. So to the extent that we've given out writing assignments to Mikey and to Paul and to Michael Pelage, it just seemed to me that sharing a position, which might include a recommendation, was a more comfortable position to be writing from than an option. So food for thought. And if folks have, something to say about this, why don't we open up the floor to some discussion?
So I guess I'll hop in first. I have no objection to this, and, you know, hopefully this provides a manner for those that may have different viewpoints to articulate it in our final report. So I have no objections. Mikey, I guess what I'll do is I'll start with the two people, the two other people that were assigned potential writing options or segments in this component, which would be Mikey and Paul. So, Mikey, is this a good change, a bad change, or an indifferent change, in your opinion?
This is Mikey. I like the change. It makes it easier for me to write because it gives me a little bit broader landscape from which to pick things, and so I'd support this.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I'm good with it too, because you know, as I was thinking about it, one of the things I think this makes possible is that, you know, early on we talked about some options, quote unquote, that we never really considered once they were kind of brought up and dealt with in conversation. And I do think we ended up focusing on a couple of positions. So I think this is a good change from that perspective, too.
All right. There we go. So that's all good. Lynn, any comments, suggestions on this?
Yeah, the only other thought I would offer is that with a final report, what I've seen done sometimes is to include a section that talks about alternatives, that, you know, since we have differing positions, are there any alternatives that, you know, should at least be identified? And the only one I can think of is that, let's say that, you know, the whole idea of a high security TLD program does not go forward, then what would the alternative be? I'm not recommending this, but I'm just saying hypothetically an alternative would be to explore some kind of minimum standard for all TLDs. And I don't even know that that's feasible. But I just throw that out there as a thought, because I've seen that done, you know, in concluding papers, and it demonstrates that, you know, every approach has been at least identified.
Okay, I think, put it this way, that's, I think that's helpful, and perhaps the chart, I think that's in, what is it, 3.1, where we look at some of the things, with some of the other considerations, perhaps we'll give some of those other options. And I believe this may also tie into some of the points that both Greg and Paul were raising last week, you know, regarding their independent actions in the applicant guidebook to sort of come up with a criteria list. So again, I do think it's important that there be a number of range of options to be considered, both within this HSTLD umbrella or perhaps other mechanisms. So thank you for that, Lynn. Pam?
Looks like a good suggestion to me.
All right. Jonathan? On mute with a screensaver.
Yes, I am. I concur. I agree with this approach.
All right, excellent. Okay, so Craig, thank you for that.
And we've got Jeff with his hand up as well.
Oh, Jeff, I apologize. I'm just writing you down on my list here.
So I agree that this approach will be additive. Documenting the positions and rationales, I think, will produce a valuable document. Something that, and I forget who was speaking prior, about something that occurred during the meeting last week, where there was discussion about and this is my characterization because I apologize, I missed the meeting last week, but there was apparently discussion about HSTLD-like items being discussed in other venues. And my question is then, is there a short-term versus a long-term objective or deliverable from this group, the longer-term being, you know, lists of positions and discussion and an overall addition to the, you know, knowledge base around these issues. But then is there an opportunity for a shorter-term impact, particularly with an area like, you know, question 35, which, you know, seems like there might be an immediate opportunity to have some positive benefit? Or are there other mechanisms that are going on to address those issues?
As far as other issues, I think, you know, one of the things I think, we've struggled with is, you know, security and trust. And when you look across the broad spectrum of other ICANN initiatives, there currently is a registration abuse practice group that theoretically may have some crossover. I think one of the objectives I'm trying to do, or where I think we as a group need to be doing, is to make sure that the efforts that we've undertaken over the last, you know, 15 months are documented so that it provides some foundation or building blocks for other works within the ICANN model. You know, whether that be new GTLDs, registration abuse practices, or, you know, potentially even some additional work within the SAC. So is that addressing your concern there?
Yeah, it wasn't a concern. It was more just a question of work product and timing. I think that what you just described is, again, a fair and valuable and noble objective of the group to, you know, contribute to the long-term knowledge and understanding of these issues. So that's fine. I was just wondering whether there was some, you know, pressing shorter-term issue, but it doesn't sound like there is anything that we can have a direct impact on.
Now, I think the only thing we're trying to do here is just, again, bring closure to this by the San Francisco meeting, so that, you know, that was our goal. I would say there's no other pressing issue at this time that I see.
Okay. Great. Thank you for the clarification. And
thanks.
Again, I agree that this is a valuable approach, so thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. So now what I'd like to do is, Craig, can you throw up the text that Pam, John, and Jocelyn have drafted so we can take a look at that and perhaps do some critical review and editing / approval?
Yeah, it's up, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
So if I could just ask a question before we start, whether Jothan or Pam is going to walk through this since it's their writing. At the onset, or shortly after we made the writing assignments, I guess I raised the question of, did we intend to use 3.1, that table 3.1 from Deloitte & Touche in its entirety? And if so, then we would obviously need to ask them for permission to reproduce it. Or are we going to, you know, take parts of it and just make it smaller? And what it looks like has come from Pam and Jothan and John is some text, which I'm trying to read as I talk, and that doesn't work very well.
Put it this way, Craig. If you want, we'll put you're on hold. Let's take 2 minutes to read it, and then we can come back to your comments, okay? So let's all read it for 2 minutes, and then you have the floor first when we re-engage discussions, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
So are you done, Craig?
I am.
Okay. So I have some comments here, but I will let you, you can have the floor first to sort of finish your original train of thought here.
Yeah, my original train of thought really was, or is it the intention to include the entire Table 3.1 that was in that RFI response and then add this text, either, you know, add this text prior to it, or are we going to take that table and modify it to something smaller and more concise? And it's important to get clarity on that, because if we want to use the entire document or the entire table, then we need to, you know, we should go ahead and ask permission to do so.
I totally agree with you. If we copied in whole, I haven't looked at the table in the last week or two, but my thinking was that it would probably be best if we could modify it and condense it a little. That was my original thinking, and even if we did condense it, I still thought it would be important to provide some attribution to the original work of Deloitte and Touche. It was kind of the, if you will, the genesis or the model upon which that chart was based. So that was my taking. Perhaps you could just ask Pam and Jonathan, did you feel that was it your intention just to use the whole chart, or did you feel that there might be the opportunity perhaps to create a, lack of a better term, a derivative work of that original chart?
So this is Pam. Should I go first?
Please. Go first.
Okay. So this actually came out of a conversation that John and I had last week, and as we were, looking over the table, neither one of us could really figure out a way to to condense it. We thought, really, because so much of the value of it is being able to see. So what it does, real quick, let me just outline. It goes through different aspects that a program, that any of the different compliance programs would contain. So, for example, ability to self-assess, frequency of audit assessment, compliance with framework. So we didn't really see that there was a way to whack any of that stuff out. I mean, those are all things that we need to speak to. And then if you look at the text that goes across, there's actually not that much text. And then it goes across, so like ability to self-assess, web trust, no, PCI, depends on the merchant level, HI. You know, so it's like we really didn't see a way to really condense it. But what we wanted to do is provide the text to say what the relevance is to our effort and what we got out of it. So that's kind of how the discussion went. Does that make sense?
Put it this way. It makes sense. And I will go back and will review the chart from the Deloitte submission. And as I said, I will take your three viewpoints that perhaps it is in a condensed format already, and that to do any further condensing would not be constructive. So I'm going to turn this. I now want to get some other people's view on this. Let's see, Mikey, do you have any comments on this particular proposed text and how we include the table?
I'm just confused. So, Pam, are you thinking that we'll slip a full copy of the table in as an appendix or something and refer to it from here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then it seems to me, Craig, that you should trundle off and talk to Deloitte about getting permission. I can't imagine they wouldn't give it to you, but yeah.
And put it this way, Mikey, that was good. Thank you for making that recommendation, because that was going to be mine as well to Craig. Next, Jonathan, if you're perhaps off mute, any contributions?
Yeah, I wasn't able to join the call with John and Pam, but essentially, what seemed to come from that was the inclusion of the 3.1 and then the sort of narrative of what it was. The 3.1 seemed like a pared-down version of an overall set of standards and how they'd apply or overlap and layer into what we're doing. And it seemed like it had already been put together in sort of a concise manner. It didn't seem to me like there was a way that it could be pared down into something without really, I think, hobbling its overall value. So I think what Mikey had suggested or put forth is that that is a good idea to maybe put it in as an appendix, and we reference just through this narrative that appendix.
All right. And, Paul, you are up next. I believe you have your hand raised. So you have the floor.
I think what is written here is very well written. I have a couple of comments. One is that when I look at the questions about kind of the open questions that need to be analyzed, I don't know if it's elsewhere because I haven't gotten to all the sections, but I think there's probably some open questions too with regard to not just the assessment or audit piece, but the, you know, underlying standards. Who's gonna maintain them? How frequently would they be reviewed? You know, how are they going to be updated as time goes on, et cetera, that I think we would need to note somewhere in the document. The second point I guess I would make, and I'm going back, I guess, to the differentiation between documenting what we've done and making a recommendation. As I read this section, I think there is certainly an assumed recommendation that we're suggesting the program go on and that the next group, quote unquote, needs to, you know, go through and assess some of the questions that are laid out here to make final decisions. So, and I'm personally generally comfortable with the group moving on and trying to move to some sort of implementation, but you know, I just think you know, hearing all the comments that I've heard, that is something I would point out, that the text kind of draws a conclusion here that we will move on and we will go to implementation, and the implementation still requires some questions to be answered, but we're moving on.
And Paul, thank you. That was actually one of the points that I was going to raise, that I could see some wordsmithing to perhaps talk about instead of using words like in developing the final program, and just say in developing a potential program. You see what I'm saying? So perhaps we could take some wording that allows for future work, but is not as definitive or I think we just need to be careful for the points that you would just raise there.
So quick question to you guys. This is Pam. Should we rewrite it just to say if the decision is to go forward? Questions that you know potentially could be taken from this exercise would be something along those lines?
I guess, put it this way, instead of me opining, perhaps we could get Mikey, since this has obviously been something that you know you've been concerned with, you know, what would you feel comfortable with as far as potential wordsmithing that allows for potential future work, but is not necessarily predeterminative of future work?
I like where this is going. I certainly would be. It'd be a lot easier for me to sign on if we put all that sort of potential maybe kind of language in there, because you know this is sort of a solution looking for a problem, and if we could frame it in such a way that gives a little wiggle room.
Well, you know what? I can try just taking that feedback and try re-wordsmithing and just resubmit it? Is that the easiest way?
I put it this way, Pam. That would be great. I think that actually provides a good break point here because it's now 20 after. We have 10 minutes left.
Before we move on, this is Craig. So, yes. Pam, when you do the minor rewrite of this, can you also address the comments that Paul made with regard to some additional questions that probably need to be added to that section relative to, you know, who owns or who monitors the standards or how often are the standards reviewed? You know, maybe two or three questions. And, Paul, if you have specific ones in mind, maybe you just send them off to the list and then Pam can incorporate them.
Sure.
That might be the easiest way.
Absolutely. And then we'll just, you know, add on to the list of questions.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for that suggestion there. So again, what I'd like to do here is we have 10 minutes left. I would like to perhaps look forward to next week's call and what we may be able to achieve. What I'd like to perhaps do is I think we made constructive use of the Adobe. Wait, Jeff, I forgot you. I see you written on my list. Was there anything you wanted to contribute on this particular section before moving on?
Yep, I said everything I had to say regarding the intended audience and use of the report before, so I'm in agreement.
Okay. Craig, you just sent me a quick thing. Is there some things you wanted to touch base on, perhaps administratively or substantively, before?
No, it's absolutely administrative.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to be on next week's call because I'll be on an airplane traveling out to the West Coast. So if folks that have taken action items either out of today's meeting for modified writing assignments, like Pam on this section and me to make modifications to the executive summary based upon Paul's remarks, if everybody could forward that information to the list by Monday, Tuesday morning at the latest, that way I can turn around an agenda, hopefully that will be useful for everyone, and then next week's call. And I think we had a more productive call today than I was anticipating based upon some of the email exchanges this morning, so I'm happy to see that. But if folks could submit their information by sometime Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning at the latest, that way it can be circulated to the group and we can continue to have another productive call, although I won't be here. What I would like to have is a volunteer from the group who can handle pressing two buttons to make sure that this gets recorded. And if someone will do that, I'll make sure that the recording gets uploaded and posted to the list, you know, by the following day.
Craig, this is Mikey. I'm happy to push buttons for anybody, and I was also thinking that I could run the Adobe room as well.
Okay.
If you could get to the Adobe minions, I've already authorized on several of the workspaces. Vertical integration is the last one that I did. If they could just authorize me on this space as well, I could fire it up and get it going.
So I'll get you the Adobe information and also the dial-in as it relates to recording.
So quick question, Craig, again, administratively. What time do you take off and land? I mean, it's usually a five-hour flight. If we move it forward a little or later,
I think my flight's at 9, and I get into L.A. at, like, 12. I mean, if we did a call at, you know, 1:30 Pacific would be 4:30 Eastern. I'm opening my calendar as I offer up that time just to make sure that it's open. What is that? The 9th? Yeah, I could do a call at 4:30 Eastern, which would be 1:30 Pacific, if that works for everybody just for next week.
Yeah, because I myself, I think I have a, I'm just looking right now, and I think I have a deposition next week at 1:30. So that's going to be a hard, there's going to be some prep before that, so that's going to be a little awkward. The 4:30 time for me would probably work better. Is there anyone on the call today where in which 4:30 would be problematic?
It's Paul. I could probably do a half hour to 40 minutes. I don't know that I'd be able to stay on for the whole hour, though. I fly that night, so.
Okay. And then, okay. All right. So put it this way, Craig. Let's send it out to the list. Just instead of taking any specific action here right now, let's send it out to the list, and within say the next 24 hours, we could potentially make that change. Okay.
Yeah. Mike, this is John. I actually am hosting a new top level domain conference in San Francisco next week, and so I will probably not be on the call.
Oh, you're doing the next thing. So, you're out for the whole day anyway, right?
Well, I think I'd have a conflict at either of our scheduled times, whether it's the current or the next, because I'm moderating a panel at the time.
Okay. Is that still going on? I heard they only had 60 participants. Did they get a little more there to justify going forward?
Oh, 60 is well below the actual attendee number. We're looking closer to well over 200.
There you go. You got your 200 to pull it off. So,
yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, the Brussels event didn't help.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brussels will be so much more fun now.
I wish I were there with a basket of fries, but.
Okay. So okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up. As I said, today's call. Again, we'll try to use the list to move forward. Thanks again for as I think Craig hit on, we had a productive session today. Got some text down, and again, we just got to keep on moving forward to get this final report out in the next couple of weeks. So thanks again, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Craig.
Left.